Okay, so again, this class is, so, okay, that's the definition of the Jones polynomial. This class is about implementation. Let's start implementing it, okay? Sorry, some of you, two of you at least, have seen it before, so are bored.
Well, we have to go through it.
Okay, so the first thing I have to tell you is how I code knots. So, right, how do I represent a knot on the computer? So, there are many, many choices. It's relatively easy to convert from one to the other. There is sort of a church thesis, if you want. They're all equivalent. They're all equally complicated, but or equally simple. It doesn't really matter which you choose, which one you choose. I'll tell you about one. If ever we need another, we will use another and convert with not much effort. Okay. So the presentation that I like. By the way, I always draw the trefoil because it's the only knot I can draw relatively easily. Okay. So you start somewhere along the knot, along this graph, and number the edges. So you start, say, here, and you call this edge number one. And then this will be edge number two. Then that will be edge number three. That one will be, edge number four. That one will be edge number five. And that one will be edge number six. Okay? And then wherever you see a crossing, it is now surrounded by four numbers. So if you see a crossing, it is surrounded by four numbers, I, J, K, L. And my convention is to denote this crossing by the symbol, well, as a mathematician, I will use the symbol X, I, J, K, L, X for crossing and I, J, K, L for these indices. And then you can ask yourself, so where do I start? So my convention is to start from the incoming lower strand and then enumerate the indices counterclockwise. So starting from the incoming lower strand. Okay? Just a convention. Okay? And, you know, in Mathematica, this will become X of I, J, K, L, I, J, K, L. And in fact, it's a tiny bit better to also indicate the sign of the crossing. So I suppose if both strands are oriented up, then this is a positive crossing, so I would call it XP. And if the orientation was different, I would call it Xn, so X plus, X minus. Okay? So what's the trefoil? So the trefoil is, let's see, so all the crossings are positive, so I guess I could put this in a mathematical notation, I could put the signs up here, up there. So the trefoil is, so all the crossings are positive for this trefoil. So the notation for it would be XP starting from the incoming lower. So it's 3146, 3146, XP, and then this one will be 1524, 1524, and then for this one it will be 5362, 5362. Okay? And okay, and then you can ask yourself, can you recover the knot from this notation? And the answer is, or the knot diagram, can you recover this picture from this notation? And the answer is, well, I have two answers. First of all, In a sense, I don't care. Because it is enough that I will show you that from this notation, I can compute the Jones polynomial. I want to compute the Jones polynomial. It's enough that I can tell you how to compute it given this notation. Okay? But more seriously, the answer is yes, you can. So from this notation, you can recover the knot diagram up to some minor issue, up to choosing which face is the face at infinity. So it's better to think of it as a diagram written on the sphere, on the two-dimensional sphere, instead of on the plane. And then you get to choose which face is the face at infinity, and this choice is not encoded here. Okay? So other than this point, you can recover the diagram from this notation, and I'm not going to prove why, because I want to move elsewhere. Okay, but if you wish, it's an exercise. It's a combinatorial exercise. So now my question is, okay, so this is my knot. How do I compute the Jones polynomial?
Does it matter at all what order you put those crossings in?
So no, it doesn't. So the answer is, as an orderless collection of x symbols with four indices each, you can recover the knot from it. Okay. So I prepared in advance a Mathematica notebook on which I do these computations, and now I want to run through it with you. So first of all, okay, you know, maybe I should do it more slowly. First of all, I hope you can see it, but here is my file system, and I want to play with the notebook 170110-Jones-Poly. And if you go to the class website, you'll find that it's available, it's available here. And it's available in several versions. It should be clear once you look at it what the versions are. Anyway, so I'll double click on it to start Mathematica. I'll make Mathematica full screen so that you can see, and let me enlarge the font size. And when I prepare, can you read? Is it readable, or should I enlarge it even more? Or do you want to come closer? I don't know.
Okay.
You know what, let me make it even bigger. Okay, I've already prepared a notebook in advance, but I didn't execute anything. So let's execute it now line by line. First of all, the notebook contains in it the pictures that contain the definitions, but these definitions are already on the blackboard. Okay? Second, so you see, since I'm lazy, and again, it's really since I really want to get forward, okay, I'm not even going to type this in. Namely, instead, I'm going to use a built-in database. So this database is inside a package called knot theory. So I want to execute only once. You know, let me remove this once. It really doesn't matter. I mean, but I want to load this package. So that's the syntax for loading a package. I hit Shift Enter, and it's been loaded. And it tells us that if you want more about this package, you go to this URL, and that URL will also tell you how to download this package to your computer. Okay? This package already has built-in, the information, this notation for all nodes. So this notation, so first of all, let me set k. I set k equals, here, k equals knot 3-1. So the trefoil is often called the knot 3-1. It's often called 3-1 because it has three crossings, and it's the number knot, the number one knot with three crossings. In fact, it's the only one. Actually, 3-1 is the mirror image of what I've drawn. So this is 3-1 bar, okay? But let's not be too particular. So I set k to be not 3-1, and well, k is not 3-1. Next, I ask the computer to print pd of k. Pd stands for planar diagram, so the planar diagram of the node K, and this really means this notation, or more or less this notation. Okay? So, let us print PD of K. So it's telling us that the package is loading some pre-computed data, and then PD of K is PD of a crossing 1425 3641. Well, the numbers are not the same as the numbers I wrote, because maybe the starting point was different, and also because the crossings are the mirror images, but it's the same principle. Okay? There is one annoying bit, and the annoying bit is that the built-in package does not distinguish between overcrossings and undercrossings. In fact, I told you that you can put this, the naming should have P or M, but in fact you could deduce whether it's a positive crossing or a negative crossing from the numbering. Because, even if the the orientation of one strand, the lower strand, is given, because it goes from I to K, because I was, by convention, the incoming lower strand. And then the orientation of the other strand can be determined by whether J is bigger than L or smaller than L, right? If L is bigger than J, well, L and J will always differ by one. And if L is bigger than J, then it's oriented this way. And if J is bigger than L, then it's oriented that way. So you can tell the orientation. So basically, you can tell the orientation of each of these crossings, even though it's not marked on it. But I actually do want to mark each crossing with its orientation, because it will make the computation of the Jones polynomial a little bit more convenient. Okay? So I want to reorganize how the... Basically, I want to add a little P here or M here, depending on the sign of these crossings. So again, this is not where the interesting stuff is, and the only reason I'm doing it is, well, basically, let's get used to Mathematica, okay? So, there is a built-in function called positive Q. Sorry, it's built-in to the package knot theory. So, the built-in function, when you feed it with a crossing, it will tell you if it's positive or negative, and it will tell you by comparing J and L. So, it's a very trivial operation. Okay, so let's check it. So let's compute, for example, a positive Q of, I don't know, this crossing, the middle one. Okay, so let me check if it's positive or negative. I did copy paste, and now if I hit enter, it will tell me if it's positive. Positive Q is the question, is it positive? So it will tell me true or false. Okay? But I want to predict it. So let's see. 3641 means that it looks like this. 3641. Now, I chose the hardest. So one more than six. Right? So it's really oriented this way, which means that if I hold it that way, my fingers go against. So this is a negative crossing. So the answer should be false. Okay? So now let me execute it. The answer is false. Okay? Am I wasting your time? I'm wasting some of your time. For some of you, it's a waste of time, but okay. So next, I want to do the following. I want to temporary variable number one. Sorry, I'm not imaginative, I'm just brute force writing a program. Temporary variable number one should be PD of K, so this thing, to which you apply a rule, and the rule is, whenever you see a crossing, if it's positive, so if positive Q, you replace it by xp, and if negative, you replace it by xn. So maybe I'll first run this line, and then sort of go through it, the syntax. Again, part of my purpose is to go through Mathematica, so I don't mind going through syntax of this program. So let me run this line, and indeed what happened is that the first one got replaced by xm, the second one got replaced by xn, the third one got replaced by xn. Sorry, it's boring.
Are xm and xp already in knot theory?
Yes. They have no meanings, they're just symbols, right? Right, it's just a symbol. Nothing is positive q is an operation. It tests whether a symbol is positive or negative. But they are just placeholders, okay? Or just names, okay? By the way, you know, if I would take the let me rerun it. So let me go from 3-1 to 4-1. So I just went up, edited this, and now I'm re-executing. So k is now, sorry, is this one, I changed the wrong line, oops, sorry. I should have changed this line. I should have changed this line. So k is now equals to not 4-1, and now pd of k has four crossings, as you can tell, and if I compute t1 once again, it will have four crossings, but two of them are positive and two of them are negative. Okay? So, one word about how much of Mathematica introduction should I give? So,
I know nothing about math.
Pat? Cool?
No.
Cool?
I know.
Should I give an introduction to Mathematica? Okay. Let's try to understand, and so again, it's a crash course. I mean, we learn from the example. And again, if you don't do it at home, there's no point being here. Okay? So, so what's going on here? So, maybe I'll start with something even more basic. So basically, I'll go through examples building up to this line. Okay? So, you know, in Mathematica, you can type in something like x plus y squared. And if I hit shift enter, meaning to evaluate it, well, it remains x plus y squared. Internally, by the way, anything in Mathematica is an expression, is called an expression. This is an expression, as an expression is a tree. So this is really the tree whose root is power. So this is really the tree whose root is power. On the left branch, well, maybe I'll start from the right branch. The right branch has the number 2 in it. The left branch has the operation plus. And underneath it, there are x and y. So this is really a tree. And in fact, if you don't believe me, we can have Mathematica printed in tree form, and here is the result. Okay? Maybe, can I shrink the font again? Okay. So, okay. So, anyway, so let's start from this tree again, x plus y squared. And then let's apply a rule to it. So how do you apply a rule? Is this visible? So apply a rule means slash dot. Slash dot means apply a rule or a list of rules. And the rules that I want to apply is y goes to z. So I'll apply the rule y goes to z, and it will become x plus z squared. So basically, throughout this tree, every occurrence of y gets replaced by z, so it became x plus z squared. Likewise, I could have applied the rule, let's apply the rule, 2 goes to 3.14, I don't know, why not? And now I have x plus y to the power 3.14. Okay? Now, but rules can be more complicated. So, I could apply, for example, okay, so let's do another thing. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4 in curly brackets means the list of numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and again, the internal structure of it is list and 4 sons and 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? So let's take this list and apply to it the rule that anything, so underscore means anything. So anything goes to, maybe I will not tell you the distinction right now, but this goes to is colon greater than sign. Okay? If you have sort of so this rule was just a line, a dash greater than, and this one is a colon greater than. So basically, this one you use for fixed things, and this one you use for patterns, but it's more subtle, but that's not the time to discuss this subtlety. Okay? So anyway, colon greater than, Mathematica immediately changing to the internal notation. You know, let me increase the font once again. So, and now let's apply the rule, anything goes to 7. So, what do you think we will get?
4 sevens.
Unfortunately, that's wishful thinking. Let's see. No. Why? Because the anything got interpreted as the whole thing. So the whole thing got replaced by 7. Okay? Now, basically, the sort of the notation anything is usually useless. You need to specify, you need to be more specific. You need to be able to say more specific things. So then, the convention is, if you want to apply the rule only to integers, then you want to say anything which is an integer. So what you do is you, after the underscore, you say the word integer, and then this now means anything whose head is an integer. And in fact, I lied to you when I wrote integers this way, because the true representation of an integer is it's the head integer and only underneath it the number 2. So, okay. So now it will be what you said. Okay? Okay. Now, that's still not very useful, because I might want to do, I might want the right-hand side of the rule to depend on the left-hand side of the rule. At the moment, I have no mechanism for that. So the mechanism is to say anything which is an integer, but that has a name. Give a name to that integer, and then that name should appear on the right-hand side too. So let me copy-paste this. So copy, paste, And now, let's call the integer x, or I don't know what you want to call it. It doesn't have to be a single letter, right? I could call it Travis. Sorry, Travis. Okay? So, if you have a Travis, so in this expression, every place you see a Travis, which is an integer, replace it by 7. Oops, that's not terribly interesting. But the good thing is that now Travis could have appeared on the right-hand side. So let me copy-paste it and say, every place you see an integer, replace it by Travis raised to the power 2. No, 2, 3. Okay, so, okay, and now the syntax of this command is clear. So, you take the PD of K, PD, I remind you, was, let me reprint it, PD of K. So, PD of K is this thing without the labeling, positive, negative, and then in that thing, every place you see an x whose head is, sorry, a lowercase x whose head is an uppercase x. So basically, every place you see an expression, well, if positive q, so if it is positive, replace it by x with its head replaced by xp. So the next thing you should know about Mathematica is, since everything is represented by trees, there are lots and lots of operations for manipulating trees. So, for example, if you take x plus y squared and say, let's take this expression and replace its head by s. So, replace it, its head is two at signs. So you do two at signs, and that will be the new head. So instead of power, you will have here F. Okay? So just to see how it works, let's do it once. So let's do, I guess, here. So F replacing the head of X, of the expression X plus Y, squared, and I'm not confident what is the order of operation, so I may as well do add an additional parenthesis. And so the result is, well, so now it, so since f has no built-in meaning, it's just interpreted as a two-variable function whose first argument is x plus y and whose second argument is 2. Okay? And there are lots and lots of other ways of manipulating trees, and we will see many of them.
So these square brackets are a way for like directly writing trees in Mathematica?
Yes. So in fact, this expression, x plus y squared, here it is, I could have written it as power of plus of x comma y comma 2. That's sort of an explicit way of writing it. And if I execute it, Mathematica will simply return the exact same thing as before, because it is the exact same thing as before. Okay? So, okay. So now I've finally set T1 to be this. Well, I've set it long ago, but let's re-execute it to set it again. And now T1 is just that thing. So if I ask the computer to print T1 again, I'll get that. Okay? Let's continue. But you see, for reasons which will be clear later, I actually want, I actually want it to be a product of crossings. So let me make T2 be T1 with the head replaced by times. So it's just a product. Times mean multiply. Okay, so T2 is a product. And now comes the key line, the key point in this computation. So basically now I'm implementing the complicated part of the Jones definition. So maybe I'll take another picture. And then, okay. So, so the idea, or the way I will, well, I already told you how I represent a crossing. Now, I need a representation for an edge, just an edge, okay? So basically, if the crossing was labeled, so let's say it's a positive crossing, and this is I, J, K, L, then it should go to Q times this, and this should be a path which connects I and J, I, J. And that should be a path which connects K and L, right? So what I will do is I'll put a vertex in the middle, and the vertex really stands for a path between the two things that appear on the sides of this vertex. So this will stand for, so this will be represented by P. So this will be represented by P I J times P K L. Okay? So so T3 is defined to be T2, to which you apply the set of rules. So now curly bracket means a list. So it's really a list of rules now. And the first rule is if you see a positive crossings whose indices are I, J, K, and L, so again, underscore means anything, but anything called I, and this is anything called J, and so on, then you replace it by Q times PIJ times PKL, that's the thing I already wrote, minus Q squared times PIL, PJK, that's the other thing. And likewise, for negative crossings, if you see xm with ijkl, you replace it by negative q to the minus 2 times, well, basically, this corresponds to the mathematics. Okay? So let me execute it. And my knot became now a product of four differences. Right? Next, I want to expand this product so as to get 16 terms. Well, that's again, I switch at some point to the 4 crossing knot. 4-1. So it's 4 crossings. So you know, in fact, why don't I switch back? This is too complicated. So let me go right to the beginning. And no, you know what? Let's keep it this way. Sorry. Okay, still 4. So now it will be so now I want to expand this, and it will be 16 terms. So for this, I need to tell you about the command expand. And the command expand does exactly what you think it does. So it expands things. So for example, if you do expand of a plus b times c plus d, you will get 4 terms, I believe. Yeah. If you do expand of x plus y to the power 5, let's make it even 10, you'll get the binomial formula, of course. Oops, sorry. Plus. Right, so this is the binomial formula, whatever it is, okay? So now I want to expand T3. So here it is. So these are 16 terms. And each of these terms corresponds to one of the 16 smoothings. So each of these terms is really well, as if you've replaced each crossing by two P's, by two dots. Okay? So, in fact, therefore, in every term here, there should be 8 P's, right? So, let's check one. So, P, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is squared. So, 6, 7, 8. Okay? And multiplied by a Q, so Q is the prefactor. Same as the prefactor over there. But now I want to, well, now I want to identify cycles. So, in this term, for example, one cycle is this 3, 7 squared, right? Because basically, if you have a cycle with two p's in it, 3 and 7, then one will be p37, the other will be p37. The square of that is a cycle. But then there might be more complicated cycles here. So, for example, you have a path from 1 to 5, then from 5 to 2, then from 2 to 8, then from 8 to 6, then from 6 to 4, then from 4 to 1. So how do I then identify this? Okay? So the answer is, well, in two steps. One step is, first of all, the original knot was oriented, but after the smoothings, these smoothings do not respect the orientation. So I somehow need to declare to the computer that P13 is equal to P31. So this is the declaration. So I add an attribute to the symbol P, and the attribute is that it is orderless. So in fact, before doing this, if I'll do P13, I'll get P13. In fact, let's do both of them. So let's make a list whose first element is P13 and whose second element is P31. I execute it. What? Oi. Sorry. Mathematica is, sorry. P is built in for the package knot theory. So it already has this attribute. So I actually don't need to set it at attribute. But let's do it, therefore, let's do it the way I intended it. So let's call it double P. And now they're distinct. But if I will set the attributes of double P to be orderless, and then re-execute this line, then they will become the same. Okay? So let me set the attributes of P to be orderless. That's pointless because it was already set by the system. But okay? And then what I want to do is, and then perhaps the next clever thing is, so you see, if you have two dots, so if you have A, B, C, and you have a P, A, B, and then a P, B, C, then that's really a path from A to C. So I should simplify it to P, A, C. So let me make T5 be T4, namely the previous thing, subject to the rule P, A, B, P, B, C gets replaced by P, A, C. And then it's double slash dot, because double slash means apply the rules repeatedly until the expression stops changing. Okay? So, let's do it. And now, the 16 terms, we still have 16 terms here, but they're much simpler. Okay? Some terms appear twice, so they came with the Mathematica combined them. But the overall should be 16 terms. And now they're much simpler because the only thing that occurs here is loops like P37 squared, or, well, actually here these are the only loops that can occur, but sometimes you get a loop that occurs basically. If you just have a loop like this, it will be represented by P II. So for this knot, all loops were squares, but sometimes you get just a single thing. So T6 will be take T5, and every place you see a loop, either by a PII or a PIJ squared, you replace it by Q plus 1 over Q. This is this rule. So let's do it. So here is T6. So this already is the Jones polynomial of the knot 4-1. The only thing is that it's ugly, so I have to expand it or simplify it. So in fact, let's do both. So let's compute expand of T6. So now it will look like a Laurent polynomial. Ooh, came out very simple. And I guess simplified T6 will not be very interesting because it's more or less the same. No way to simplify it further. Anyway, let's compare it with the built-in Jones polynomial. So there is a built-in command called Jones polynomial. Let's compute Jones polynomial of 4-1 at Q. So let me edit the 3 and replace it by 4. And oops, it's not the same. So it turns out that the built-in program uses a different convention than my convention. Basically, if you want the... Well, if you take T6 divided by Q plus Q inverse and replace Q by square root of Q, then it should agree. So let me do it, and it agrees. Okay? Now I'm out of time, or rather I have 2 minutes, but maybe next time I will show you how to package it as a program. So the program will be J of a knot K is basically do this sequence of operations. I copy-pasted the operations from above to down here. So here is the program, and then I can compute J of any knot, for example, 817. And then I can compute using the built-in program, I get the same answer, and you can test that, that our program agrees with the built-in program on all knots with up to 10 crossings, okay? But again, maybe we should do it next time. And finally, well, everything appeared to be a bit ad hoc. It still is ad hoc. But at least I can prove to you that this is invariant under Rademeister moves. Because you see, I can just use the exact same program or with minor modifications and use it to evaluate the two sides of each of the Rademeister moves. So I can evaluate it on the left-hand side and on the right-hand side of each Rademeister move. And so in fact, the same program will also prove that can be used to prove that the Jones polynomial really is a knot invariant. It doesn't tell us where it came from, but will tell us that it is invariant. And in fact, I will repeatedly use this strategy. So later, we will have a better motivated way for understanding row 1. However, our understanding of row 1 will be very, very complicated, and we will never know if we did something right or wrong. Okay? And then we will implement row 1, and one of the first things that we will do, we will be to use this implementation to test if the left-hand side of the Rademeister move is equal to the right-hand side. Okay. So that's the plan, and let's stop now and see you on Friday, and you should turn off the video.